The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Once again, to be flabbergasted by the rolling tongue, the juggling of words, thoughts, and phrases, like a Spaniard on a tightrope, here is the one, the only, the man of 2 hours, Frank Cotolo.
Ha ha ha, ha ha ha, pal.
Woof man, Jagana, hallelujah trail.
The hallelujah, hallelujah.
Not to leave me alone. Don't hit me!
Hit you? How about your goddamn pen?
Stop acting like one.
Why'd it have to be Eddie? He symbolizes everything that disgusts me.
What?
Obviousness. Unoriginal, macho energy. Ladies' man.
You're right. It's not much. I made an error, an unhappy error. But I drink. When I drink, I move in a wrong direction.
You know, every time I get with a woman, something happens. Sometimes it happens sooner, sometimes it happens later. This time it happened pretty fast.
You know, we just met. You don't own me.
Yeah, hey, that's right. Nobody owns anybody. I just thought that we had something a little special.
Listening to Frank Cotolo.
That's some control over there, you know what I mean?
Natarati couple surfers, netaholics and infomaniacs, it's time again, por favor. Wake up, it's night. Philosophical entertainment, relevant irreverence. Otra vez, here we go again, translated into 15 different languages across the globe and to other planets. It's me, Frank Atolo, man whose name adorns the title of this show. We are Chronic. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello and into every bordello, where hopefully the air is controlled, bordellos, and it is a constant temperature that does not. Do you hear the hum? Do you hear the hum? The hum is, and again, I talk about this all the time, about being able to do what you do well under the cloak of it, the cloak. In the sea of adversity, I'm trying to be poetic there, but without the convenience of air-controlled studio, hear that? I think you can hear the hum. That's, yeah, I know. It's a pedestrian fan. It's a common stand on blades going around. It goes fast, medium, and large. Goes fast, super fast, and up high. That's it. Low, medium, and high. I forgot the levels. It goes low, medium, and high. That's it. A common pedestrian. I don't know how many other ways I can say it. A fan. It's a fan. As if we're somewhere in a Western Union office. In Calcutta, which is not Calcutta anymore, it's Mumbai. It's as if we're in some foreign legion outpost here. and this is, of all times, America. And it is America on America's birthday. Now, I'm not big on theme shows, but, and I really don't want to do a theme show. I'm not going to do a theme show, as we do here. On this 4th of July, let's Y2K plus 13, 4th of July, Independence Day here in the United States of America, And I don't do things like, you know, get information or read books from great patriots or quotes or things or movies. I don't do that because it's not my job. Not that I have a job, but it's not even my place to get into praising or putting down or teaching about the independence of America, no less the independence of anything. What I want to talk about is this spinoff, the idea of fireworks on this day and the stories behind it and how growing up, it's really the very essence and meaning of Independence Day meant nothing because it was fireworks day. And if you ever lived in a city, you might know, and I don't even know this because it might not be true, because I'm only basing this on New York City, where fireworks are fascinating stories behind fireworks. I heard today, not that it matters when I heard it, that there were 9,600 injuries based on fireworks, using fireworks each year. And that to me is low. But it's, if they were counting, and I don't think they were counting when I was a kid, I'm sure it would have been way higher because there were no safety margins at all. But anyway, we'll be talking about that. I'll be talking about that as we move on through this heat wave and keep the fan. I know that. Does that sound like unprofessional? You know, there was a time in radio stations elsewhere out there in the middle of nowhere before there was a cyberspace and stuff where, you know, this was it. This is all you had. Cheap little studio and you had a fan on you. And sometimes they turn it off because they said, we can't keep that on you. You'll hear it. But here's the thing. The thing is you're going to have to deal with the sound in the back. It doesn't matter. I don't even know if you can hear it as loudly as I can hear it, but it doesn't matter. If I didn't tell you, you might not even know. See, I made it recognizable, and that was my big mistake, and not only one of my big mistakes. There's many. My name is Frank Cotolo, a man whose name adorns the title of this show, and your Cotolo Chronicles, Y2K plus 13 on the 4th of July, Y2K plus 13. Next week is the show I've been telling you about. There's going to be a lot of fun. Tom Savino comes back for Savino Cotolo Chronicles, and it's the Tonto Joke Show. This is the one that you got to tell your friends, your family, your family's friends, their pets, and everyone that you've got to get here for the Tonto Joke Show. And it's very difficult for me to even promote this without telling you too much about it. But I'm telling you, this isn't only going to be fun, but this is going to catch on once again. The Tonto Joke. Now, many of you may have already gone to the movies this time to see the Walt Disney reboot of The Lone Ranger. And you know what? There was never really a movie, The Lone Ranger. It was a series of episodes from the very famous TV show. There wasn't a movie, so it's not a reboot. It's just taking the whole Lone Ranger idea and changing it around as Disney did and using CGI for gigantic effects and crashing trains. And, of course, Johnny Depp with the hawk on his head or whatever that might be. And the reversal of Tonto and the Lone Ranger. This is kind of like, from what I know of it, it's kind of like if you made, you know, let's say Rocky and Bullwinkle. If you remember them, Rocky was the smart one and Bullwinkle was the stupid. Imagine if Bullwinkle was suddenly the driving force and Rocky was the dumb one. Or the one, not dumb, but the one who was led by, you know, yeah, just switch it around. That's what they did with the Lone Ranger. It's just a good time to do the Tonto Joke Show as this comes out, because the whole idea of Tonto is going to be on your mind. Tonto, the Indian Tonto. I don't know what Tonto means, but the Tonto Joke will be the Tonto Joke Show featuring me and Tom Savino. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you're going to learn how to do write yourself. And that's what's great about this. You're going to learn how to write Tonto jokes and just spread them around. It's going to be hilarious. It's good when you're drunk. It's good when you're just happy. It's good when you're with friends. It's good when you're with enemies. It's that. Now, of course, we do need to also remind you that JuicedTalk.com. If you miss this show live, you now have JuicedTalk.com, where you can get these great shows from these Cotolo Chronicle shows in archived, so you can go back. So if you miss it, and you miss it on one of the many affiliates because you can't seem to get the time frame in there. This is why you have Juice Talk is kind of like TiVo, because even though television is scheduled and you run these shows at these certain times, what you do is what? You go get the show and then you watch it at your convenience. You can listen to it at your convenience. I'm going to let the Artist D tell you about Juiced Talk. You need to know about this. Our affiliates need to know about this too. Remember, this is where you get the shows to play on the many stations that we have, and there are more and more, and I promise you affiliates, I'm going to do a whole bunch of promos for all of you, and I'm going to send them out there. I will do that. But here's the Artist D tell you about Juiced Talk. You need to know this.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuicedTalk.com. Here, Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make like what a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time. Okay.
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything going on, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things, nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
Gotta get it. You gotta get
the book. In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
The late, great Rick Busby there again, helping me sell a License to Scale, which is a book that you need to get. I don't wonder why these levels change all the time, or is it my head? Is my ears getting weird or something? I don't know. Or maybe it's the fan. I don't know. Rick, there's going to be an announcement, not shortly like today, in the next 10 minutes or 20 minutes, not in the next hour, apparently not even the show, but we're going to make an announcement, about Rick Busby related to radio, which will be coming up soon. So all I can do, that's all I can tell you. Keep listening, keep watching. You got your Facebook thing. Final Frontier Radio is the name of the station that plays a lot of this stuff, and we'll have the announcement. They're good friends of ours because Skylar's over there. Hotspot Radio's here, and we know there, and everybody knows each other. So we're all good friends, and we had a wonderful time with Rick's wife and a lot of friends, including Dr. Woldar and Mrs. Woldar and Chris Malpass and Beth Malpass and little Colin Malpass, who is now running amok. He was running amok at the restaurant at this wonderful memorial dinner that we had for Rick, and a great toast with some, and you know, Dr. Woldar picked the liquor for the toast, and it was great. I just wish I had some right now. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, we are going to be making an announcement on that. So this has to do with Rick, and it has to do with radio. Rick and radio go together like Othello and every bordello. But for now, you got me right here with relevant irreverence. And this whole idea of fireworks that we're going to be talking about. And then Juice Talk. Okay, so you got everything together now. Let's move on since we have all that in our. What happened to that? Oh, I see. We have all that in our consciousness now. Okay, I think we're set. It's amazing. Like, you know, because my hands. I don't want to tell you about this. This doesn't matter. I'm supposed to go through this, and I will go through this, and that's why I'm here. You know, I could have easily said, you know what? It's too damn hot in that studio. I don't want to be there tonight. Instead, I'm going to sit somewhere where it's cool and comfortable, and I'm going to just have blow a fan on my head and in one ear and out the other, but I didn't do that. No, I didn't do that. You know why? I'm a glutton. I'm a glutton for getting this stuff out and doing this. Because you know, you never know when people want it. What a face looking at me here right now. I am solo, but I am not totally alone. Totally alone? No, I am not alone. You can be totally alone. I'm a half alone. I am not alone per se, because a good friend of this show and a man who's on radio himself on a podcast with the Racing Enquirer is with me. He happened to be. Son of Frank Cotolo. You all know him as Ray. He happened to be Ray Cotolo, who happens to be with me at this particular time. It's been a while. I was thinking the other day about the entire, you know, Jack, my other son, you guys remember Jack Tolo. He did an entire summer with me, every show. You do remember that? Yeah, you were very young and you were spitting up out of the side of your mouth.
It wasn't
that young. But he did. We did a lot of good shows. a lot of the shows that we did, and he was here, I don't remember. What are you doing with your...
I actually broke this pen.
Never put a pen in your mouth like that, because what kind of a pen is that? Man, Holman, he's got a pen I'd like to see. Oh, it's horrible. It's one of those stupid pens you got at the sale.
It's a good pen.
That's a good pen. Anyway, Ray is with me. Why did you roll over here? I mean, you're doing work over here. You had something to say? Because I can't hear you now. I'm gonna have to put the microphone over there. Ray has something before we get into this. Here's Ray.
I heard you exaggerating your actions for the show tonight, saying how you were dying and doing the show for the people. And in fact, you're sitting here nice and comfortable with the air blowing onto you.
Well, that's not entirely true. I am, because if you'd like to feel under my shirt, you can see how. But it is more comfortable with the fan. It's just that I had to tell everybody to, if I tell them, and lots of times, we've had guests who just sit and watch me do this show. I don't know why but they do. They come here, and of course, Jeremy Long is here every now and then. So if I say there's a fan in the room, they may think it's another person just sitting there watching. I like Frankie, but we're not. This is an actual fan, a house fan. I don't even know what they call these things anymore. We used to have them before there was, when air conditioning, and this goes back, this is good, this will work with the theme of the show, not that it matters, but when we go back to the times I'm going to be talking about, the years I'm going to be talking about fireworks, on the 4th of July in New York, when we're talking about a time when the only kinds of fans, these portable fans that we had to keep us warm during the summer in New York, air conditioning was a luxury, and it wasn't even something that you would be able to get a small unit and put it in. In those days, you either got a big unit or it was in a store, or you had a lot of money and you just had something. Forget about central. There was no such thing as central air conditioning. If you had any money at all, you had this large thing that was, and they would say things like, how big is your air conditioner? And air conditioned, and I don't know if this is still true, but it used to be measured by BTUs. They used to say, are you kidding? I got a 20,000 BTU in the living room. You're right. It's British thermal units. And I have no idea why, when they decided to make air conditioners, they were measuring it by British thermal units. British thermal units. Yeah, I know, but why wasn't it French thermal units? Are there German thermal units? And what other kind of units could you use? I don't know what doesn't make sense. British...
Measuring a device that cools you off. No, just give me the microphone.
Okay, all right. See, this show needs a budget, so we got to go to Kickstarter and get some money. What?
It doesn't make sense because you have a device that cools you, measured by British thermal units, and the word thermal itself implies heat, when cold air is just a lack of heat.
There is a distract. You need heat. You need electricity to make cold. There's no such thing as cold. Cold is the absence of heat. But let's look this up here. Now that we've just mentioned this, because you said thermal implies heat, and I don't know if that's true. Let's see if thermal. We're going to look it up here in our. Of course, we're going to our Webster's New American Dictionary, published in 1960, which is good too, because that's the around the time we're talking about.
I'm still trying to figure
thermometer, thermal. Here, thermal. Hey, here it is. Pertains to heat. Absolutely correct, Ray. Very good. Pertains to heat, having heat warm. So, yes, British thermal unit. So, you know what I think that means? I can hazard a guess, and it is a hazard for me to guess. Someone may get hurt. The idea is that thermal units would be an amount of space where it's hot. So, if 20,000 would cool off, or cool, I don't know if you cool off or cool on, cool up, cool down. I don't know how to say it. Would cool, period, X amount of space. And that space is measured by a thermal unit. And this is, now, here's what's great about this, too. Because, again, we go back to New York and we go back to Brooklyn. We go back to people who said things as if they knew them, and they didn't know them. They just knew how they were spoken. So, in other words, a guy said, I got a 20,000 BTU. Because they told them, this is a BTU. How many BTUs is this? They told them, that's how we measure it. And the guy never asked, what is a British thermal unit? How big is a British thermal unit? But they wouldn't. They would just say, how big is your living room? And he'd say, like, well, it's, and then he wouldn't even tell you in square feet. Okay, what do? And he would go, if you're in the store, he'd go, okay, from right over there, he'd point, from where that guy is standing over there, okay, to maybe about behind me 4 feet. He would just give him an idea, and the guy would say, okay. He said, well, I think you're going to need a, I think you'll need only need a 10,000 BTU for that. He went, no, you're kidding. No, yeah, a 10,000 BTU will, in fact, let me tell you this. There are people who just called them BTUs because that was, they were told, this is how you measure can be by BTUs. And nobody ever asked, what's a BTU? I swear to you, this is true. These people never even asked. They just knew that was it, so they accepted it, never asked, and they went on measuring it. And in their entire lives, throughout everything they did, their occupation, their life at home, their family, their vacations, wherever they went, never once did they even ask, why aren't there BTUs anywhere else in my life? Why are the only when it comes to air conditioners? They never asked. And my point is not, my point is that this again, we talked about this a number of weeks ago and maybe years ago too, when we talked about these people who, in these common people, living in this common world, in the city, in the boroughs, in New York specifically, who just said they knew stuff and they just assumed certain things without asking them or asking about them or anything.
Show is now dedicated to the Millstream Farm pen. It was unfixable, and we were greatly saddened by its absence in our lives.
We lost the mill farm.
The pen just
broke that he tried to fix. What we were talking about is gone. It's now history. I don't know how many. At one point we had a small. I don't know how many BTUs it was. Maybe it was 2,000 BTU in that window right over there. Many years ago, we did this show with some air conditioning down here. It was very good with air conditioning, but we don't do that anymore. Okay. In any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, here we are again on Cthulhu Chronicles. But that's true. What happened back in that? That's the era that we're talking about when there were air conditioners only, and you had to have a lot of money. Not because of the electric bill, because the electric bill was never that high. It was because these things cost at that time, because these weren't regular things people bought. There weren't, the price wasn't down because, you had to have a lot of money to buy an air conditioner. Okay. And this comes down to stuff that happened in New York specifically, and that was this. I don't know. It's great. He sends me a note, and it's written like so. So you don't know he sent me a note, Ray. He just met me, and I don't know. Yes, I think so. Oh, okay. Well, then why did you put two question marks? As if I want no. All right. Wow. Did we just get thrown off there, but I'll come right back to what I was talking about right now, and that is that someone on the block would invariably come over to you. Let's say an air conditioner in 1961 cost $500. Now that's a lot of money in 1961. So don't start thinking that's nothing. I could even afford that because you go to college and you got a bank account and your parents give you $100 for a birthday present and whatever. And that's nothing. And then you work somewhere. Okay. But someone, let's say it costs $500 and I don't even remember the various brands in those days. They were different and weren't just General Electric and World. They were different brands in those days. It's like the fans I was telling you about because we couldn't afford the air conditioners. The fans were, the Hunter was a big fan. In fact, I have the ceiling fan I have in my bedroom as a Hunter. Hunter made a lot of fans and they still do. But Hunter fans were, and you know what you did with them? You put them in the window. And then there was a great controversy about how to make the room cooler, because it went two ways, the fan, in and out. You blow it in, the air blows in, and the air blows out. Now, some people said, if you put it on in, you're just blowing that hot air in, and you get if you stand in front of it, you get yourself a breeze, but that's it. And what you really need to do is to make it go out, because there was a strange and probably unfounded theory that if you sucked the air out, if you put the big fan in your window and you pushed it high out, that it was taking out air and therefore making it cooler in the room. I never understood this. Not that I was good in any kind of science in school, but I never understood this. And nobody ever verified that either. The same people who used BTUs to measure but did not know anything about a BTU said things like, you make it go out. Now, there were the people who said you should suck the air out, and there were the people who said you could suck the air in. Okay, let's go back to the air conditioners. I was back to the air conditioner. Why was I going back to the air conditioners? Because they were these air conditioners that were very... And I was talking about the fans. That was it. That was it, wasn't it? Isn't that as far as I went? Well, because during the 4th of July, every year, it was this kind of heat. It was very hot. And in the city, always hotter than it is in the country, because everything is going on. Electric is going on. And people are, you know, you got appliances. You got room. There's no wind, because there's buildings all around you. No wind. There's no nothing. So you're stuck in this place, and you got this this airborne. And at night, when it cooled off a bit, you went outside. And I've talked a whole many times. A whole many. You like that one? I've talked many, many, many times about the city streets of New York, where people were out at nighttime. They'd bring their TVs out. They would with long cords, and they'd sit there with beers and other beverages of a cold nature. And then there were the people who said this, and this I found out was true. The people who said, don't sit here sweating and don't drink cold liquids, they'll just make you hotter. See, drink hot liquids so that you sweat, and once you sweat, your body cools and you feel cool. Even in the heat, the more you drink the cold, the more heat you will feel and need more cold. Now, also, this is all going on, of course, with this is July in the city, in the depths, in the bowels, okay, of cosmopolitan living, in the bowels of metropolitan madness. This is what's going on. People trying to escape the heat. And it's the same thing with the cold and the hot. If you're in an air conditioned, and this happens today too, if you stay in air conditioning all day and then you go out into the regular weather, the actual weather that's happening, and it's like 98 degrees, that's a tremendous disparity. You're coming from being, your body is going, whoa, yo, so that's it. That's what I mean. So if you drink hot liquids. So those are those people. Then there were the other people who said, you go out. You were members of different schools of thought always in this particular world I grew up. And then, that's what I was saying, the air conditioning. So invariably there was somebody on the block who came over to you. Usually he was, and I don't mean to say this as if, well, they were just laymen. They were blue-collar guys who lived in the neighborhood, would come over to you if they knew you. Hey, how you doing? They say, hey, listen, you want to buy an air conditioner? And you'd go, what? An air conditioner? The guy has air. How do you have air conditioners? He had air conditioners. Why? If you ever saw the movie Goodfellas, you get an idea of what I'm talking about. There were indeed things that happened that were illegal. So let's say that air conditioner cost $500. Let's go back to that. It cost $500. The guy would come over and go, you see this air conditioner? 20,000 BTU. He'd say, it's a 20,000 BTU? I can't afford that. He goes, no, but you know immediately. You know, he's going to say, listen, for you, $200. $200 is like $500 and tax if you go to Macy's or if you go to Sears or one of the other various EJ Corvettes. Does anyone remember EJ Corvettes? Wow. It was a big department store at one time. I mean, not a big department store like Macy's in New York. It was a big department store franchise type, like kind of like Kmart or Walmart today. Like you would go to the Costmart or Costco or Walco or Walmart or any of those places where you go.
EJ Corvette. It was, like, $200. But remember, when you buy, and then there were the people who said, oh, you're going to get one of those hot ones? Hot ones. Isn't this fun, too? Because it's a hot thing. If it's, why is it stolen? It's hot. It's hot if it's stolen. It's cool. But nobody ever says, did you buy something at the store? Yeah. Well, it's a cold item because you bought it legitimately. If you buy something legitimately, it's cold. If you buy something that's stolen, it's hot. I have no idea where this originates or why. It's hot. Okay, it's hot. So then you would say, someone would say, geez, I got to make up my mind now. Do I want an air conditioner? A 20,000 BTU air conditioner. And remember, the people who are hearing this are going, wow, that's 20,000 BTUs. Let me think about it. He goes home, he tells his wife, you know, and he says, Alice, 20,000 BTU. Now, Alice knows that she doesn't know a British thermal unit from a ruptured nostril. And yet, she knows BTU. She just knows the sound of that. 20,000 BTU, that's an air conditioner that cools a lot. Why, that's big. It's too big for us. Ralph, it's too big. And she would go like, yeah, but, you know, 20,000. She goes, I don't even know if the apartment can. Now they're going, there's an electricity problem here. I don't even know if the apartment could even handle that. Because there was a fuse box on the bottom. You had fuses and the electricity was different. And this was just like a one-bedroom apartment that these people were paying. Now, check this out, right? $125 a month to live there in this one-bedroom apartment with a hallway and a kitchen and a thing. It's nuts. Okay, so the deal is, do they want this air conditioner? And then Alice says to Ralph, it's funny I said Ralph and Alice, right? It's like the honeymooners. And Alice says to Ralph, and Ralph, who's my father's name, and I always talk about my father. So Alice says to Ralph, I don't know, Ralph, because, what if it blows the fuse, or can we have it, or what's going to happen to the electric bill? Well, they didn't worry that much about the electric bill, because how many, it was so cheap, it was unbelievable electric. Even though people made less, of course, a balance of that, you know all that stuff, because you go to school and you've learned it. But the thing is, what she's saying is that's too much for us. To have a 20,000 BTU thing. And he's going, yeah, but it's $200. And then she's going, yeah, no warranty, because when you buy it cold, not hot, you get a warranty. So if anything goes wrong with it, you could bring it back to Sears or EJ Corvettes. Okay, but you can't do that if you buy it hot. If it's hot and you buy it from Joe the garbage man, who happens to work down the block, who happens to have a connection somewhere, he'll never tell you where he got it. I was a couple of friends of mine, you know. It fell off a truck. Since when do appliances fall off of a truck and automatically you can't bring them, you can't use them any, if they're good and they fell off the truck? Wouldn't you put them back on the truck and bring them to the store so you could sell it again? No, if it falls off the truck, it's no good. But you know it's hot. He knows it's hot, but nobody ever admits to it. Just like nobody ever asks the next guy, what the hell is a BTU? Nothing. Okay, so then what do? You say, you got to make up your mind. $200, that's a lot of money. It might be a little bit more than the guy is making every week. Yes, and when taxes and everything's taken out, he's not even making $200. That's almost a week. It's more than a week's salary to get a 20,000 BTU hot thing. And if something goes wrong with it, you're tossing it out, babe. You know why? Because it ain't working. And you can't bring it back anyway. There's no warranty. What a decision you have to make. Well, the decisions, I don't know how they got rid of these things, but they did. And the other thing was that the guy would always say, look, you got to make up your mind. I only got three of them. You know, when meanwhile his garage has like 20 of these things because the whole thing was stolen, you know, from boxes. Hey, I have just, and I'm going to tell you something about this. Let me give you a little history, not history, let me give you a little science here because I just got an email about this. Air conditioners work by generating heat. They don't generate cold. They work by generating heat. This comes from he's technically our science researcher and, of course, the man who knows all about all this. So Dr. Woldar, who will be on this show again soon, but you all know Dr. Woldar. Everybody. Well, this is, he got a little information here as he's, okay, air conditioners work by the conservation of energy law, cold cannot be created without first having a heat source. This is what we said.
This is what we were saying. You know, you have to have heat in order to make cold. There is no such thing as cold. It's the absence of heat. The air conditioner creates its own heating source by compressing. This is how it works. I never knew this. It compresses gas to a high internal pressure. And the BTU is a unit that measures the capacity of the compressor to generate the heat. So that's it. That's what. That's why thermal and heat. You're right, Ray. You're right, Doctor. Thank you very much. And that's a professor, Doctor, Professor, Professor, Doctor, and everything else. That's how that works. Okay. But again, that would be for you to find. You could find out more about that. Put it in the Cotolo Chronicles notebook. Write this down and look it up later. But the important thing is that you understand the consciousness of the people and the community I'm talking about. And Dr. Waldo, I know he's listening right now, remembers, I know he remembers E.J. Corvettes. And I would imagine any second now we'll get another email. And he'll go, of course, E.J. Corvettes. Because he's from that general area. Okay, so what was I saying? Oh, so the big, what do? Do you buy the hot 20,000 BTU air conditioner or do you not? Do you forget about it and put in the Hunter ceiling fan? And then if you put it, not ceiling, it's not a ceiling fan. No, I'm sorry. That's way later. The window fan. Or the one that you just carry around wherever you go. We're going to go into the kitchen now. Let's put the fan in the door jamb of the kitchen because we're going to eat and we want the fan blowing in. You know, if the fan is not in the window, you don't put it on out, you put it on in. But if it's in the window, there's a whole different theory about whether you should suck the air out or put the air in. It's just madness. Okay, so and none of these people have any idea of any of this. They just feel one way and that's it. So that's the deal with the fans. And now this stuff is going on every summer in the city, in all five boroughs. I don't care where you live, even if you live close to the water, near the beach, you're dealing with this humidity. And I always loved that. And they used to say the same thing about the heat. You know, they used to say, I was out west once. Why do they always talk like that when I'm talking here? Because they all have, because that's who they were. These were these people. And these are the voices of my past. These are the voices of urbanity. The voices of laymen. The voices of blue collar. The rough, tough city people of the East. Yeah, I was out west in the service. When I was in the service, means in the army. I was in the service. I was out west. And I'm telling you, it's a whole different heat. It's, so it's not the heat here, it's the humidity. It's always the humidity. Not the heat, it's the humidity. Because they tell you, and the other guy would go, yeah, you're right, you're right about that, Ciro. You're right about that, because I know that it's a dry heat when you go out there. It's a dry heat. I remember sweating at least a pound off myself. I walked down the strip in Vegas. Practically the whole strip. I walked all the way to the Sahara, which in the old days was right at the end of the strip. And I walked from there all the way past, Frontier. And that was like, that's going all the way downtown. And I had to stop at various casinos to breathe because that air was dry. Yes, it was dry, but it was, but you sweat. So I don't know, this thing about the humidity. Close. And then he said, I don't know where they got this from. It's close. Boy, it's close in here. That's humidity. If it's humid, it's close. If it's hot, it's hot. And it's a dry. But it's a dry heat if there's no humidity and there's a breeze. I don't know. These things that we live with that come up, this is what happens. Now, add to this 4th of July. And here come the fireworks. Well before the 4th of July. In fact, it's like mid-June. There are people selling fireworks, just like the guy and the good fellas and all the people who got the hot appliances. You're going to hear from them. Now they're going to outsource this thing to the younger kids and kids. Believe it or not, kids in those days. I'm talking about. 20-year-olds, 18-year-olds, they're the main source for getting the fireworks. it's very rare to go to an adult and get all these fireworks. For some reason or another, the kids, I think they needed another buffer. Okay? So what happens? Well, June 15th, everybody starts talking about fireworks. Where are you getting fireworks? You're getting fireworks. And I mean, everybody's talking about it. Tony, they don't walk into doorways and go down into, going behind garage doors and in alleyways. They just talk about it out in the open. You're going, well, why is that so bad? Well, because it's totally illegal to have one firecracker at this time in New York. I still think it's illegal. There are certain states where it is legal and you can get fireworks, but you still can't buy them if you belong to that state. You have to have an out-of-state license.
They were talking about banning... sparklers, too.
They were talking about banning sparklers, even.
That was Michael Bloomberg.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a big thing in fireworks. But he wanted to ban sparklers. You know what? Sparklers were illegal. So any firework when I was growing up was illegal. But right. Now what? Sparklers illegal?
Sparklers apparently were legal, and now Michael Bloomberg wants to ban them because he doesn't want to get them in the hands of terrorists. That's what I heard.
Well, I was sparklers, by the way, that's the first time I was ever burnt. We didn't talk about that. It's the first time I was ever burnt by a firework. And the only time I ever got burnt with a firework was a sparkler. But let's get into the stories of blowing these things up as we move on. We're going to talk about the selling of them. Because what happens is, and I never really knew how this happened, but I heard many, many an urban legend about how the fireworks got into the hands of, and we didn't call them the mob in those days. We didn't call, there's just, you know, he's a, and nobody called the crime families, the so-called, the alleged crime families. Nobody said mafia. Nobody said, that really goes back to way, way, way long time ago. Mob, he's connected, he's a gangster. Nobody said that. They were just the guys. In fact, you just did not use the terms at all. But the legend was that these, a long time ago, maybe even the turn of the century, when a lot of the Italian people were here and starting to form various, at that time, mafia, let's just say, underground crime cultures, that these Chinese ships, and whenever you say Chinese ships, I always think of that same one Chinese ship I see with that looks like the papier-mâché sails, the one they always show, the one they always have a wooden ship. If I see Chinese ships, there's always the same ship they see in cartoons and paintings. Okay, that one ship. And they used to say that these Chinese ships came to the New York docks. And, of course, the docks were always places that were assumed to be, and rightfully so, because many times they were. It's not where they got the air conditioners, though. They get the air conditioners at the airport, actually. So a lot of the stuff that was written and shown in that movie Goodfellas was correct. And they got cigarettes, they got all these stuff, and hijacking trucks and hijacking air cargo. Air cargo. I mean, whatever that air cargo might have been. Fur coats, Snickers bars, cigarettes, sweaters, coats, whatever. Because the same guy who came around town and asked if you'd like an air conditioner, same person go like, I got some nice dresses if you want to see them. How's your daughter? Then you got to do, I know you got a daughter there, Carmine. How about some, want to buy her a nice, dress for the prom or whatever? Okay, so all these, but the thing was that around the turn of the century, China, this is where this stuff came from because of the fireworks. Fireworks in China. I mean, that just goes together. That's where this stuff. I don't have the details of this history. I'm going totally by the legend. And as they say to a newspaper man, they said, if the truth is too boring, print the legend. So we're gonna tell you through the legend the things that I grew up hearing. These boats from China and the Chinamen were in there that were bringing over things like what? Noodles and various types of baked goods that were used in Chinese food to make egg rolls and shrimp. And there was some boat. They had shrimp. They had all these. Actually, I don't think they said anything about having meat or shrimp or fish or shellfish or anything. I think it was just like noodles. The fans hitting another. Okay, it's all right. Noodles and baked goods that they would make, fortune cookies and all that stuff. These were the things that the ships brought over. But, indeed, and as the case may be, and as the case actually was, there were, what were there? Fireworks, firecrackers. And in those days, there were just firecrackers. And the firecrackers were illegal in New York. And yet, they brought them all in because there were the, I don't even know what to call them, but anyways, there was the mafia people, okay, so they all were getting their shipment because they were going to sell this stuff on the streets. I'll bet you that's an E.J. Corvette email. No, it's not. It's a, oh, it's something else. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? So, I should never do that. I keep that on because if you want to email me, well, not a lot of people know my personal email. So the legend is that the shipments came in and there were firecrackers. And they never told us about the other stuff. We're going to get into the other kinds. Because there are the ones that we got in New York. There were all sorts of kinds, all different types. But the basic one with the firecracker. So the legend was that the Chinese, it was completely legal for Chinese to make this stuff and everything, I guess. And they shipped them over here with their noodles and their baking goods. And, of course, the underground crime company or whatever got it and brought it and then started to sell it. No, they didn't sell it, like I said. And there were different sizes. And only once in my life did I ever buy a mat of fireworks. Of firecrackers. A mat was the biggest single unit. And I don't know what it was, M-A-T, M-A-T-T, I don't know. And I didn't even know why they measured it that way. Talk about measuring. What's a mat? A mat is the largest single group package. I said, the largest single package of firecrackers you could buy. You don't have to look it up, and maybe it says somewhere you could see how many firecracker packages. And I can't even remember how many firecrackers there were in a package. But if you lighted the fuse, I'm getting more information in, even as we speak. If you lighted the fuse, you know, I haven't even talked about these crazy emails I'm getting. I'm going to have to do a show on that. Wild emails. Again, it's like as if it never happened. They're still sending the Nigerian email scam is still going on, and the love letter thing is I love you, I want to marry you, still going on. So I bought, only once did I buy a mat, but you got that from the various people who were selling them. And a mat had, I don't know how many firecrackers. I don't know how many were in one package. But kids started selling them and then reselling them. And then some people would buy them and sell them for more. Kids were selling this stuff. All of it illegal. I never knew one kid, and I knew a lot of them, who got caught. Now, there's good reasons for that. And it has to do with the original source, of course. Because a lot of the policemen were paid off, and a lot of the, when they were paid and given favors not to look. And that, of course, all came to pass on the actual night of July 4th in the four boroughs. When all across, did I say four boroughs? There were five boroughs. In the five boroughs of New York City, where all you heard were firecrackers. And if you looked in the sky, all you saw were the colorful, the greens, the yellows, the blues, and the big blowing up of these things, the explosions in the sky, all of it illegal, and nobody being caught. So obviously, the fact that they were being sold, nobody was policing that, and then they were being blown up by everybody they were being sold to, and that was many, many, many people, and a lot of them kids. And in those days, I don't think they, and I know they didn't keep figures and statistics like I said before. 96,000 people are injured by firecrackers each year in these United States, and nobody knows about how many were there. I mean, it could have been, and it might have been tons more, because in those days you could not. There were no safety measures like there are now, and I'll tell you more about that when we come back. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. You're listening to Cotolo Chronicles, Y2K Plus 13, on July 4th, Independence Day in the United States of America, the day we proclaimed, not the day we became a nation here, the day we proclaimed our independence. That was just the beginning of the war. And we had no idea that that we were going to win it. We had no idea that Mel Gibson was going to go out there and fight it for us. And he was... Have you seen The Patriot? And we did not... We didn't know any of this stuff. But Independence Day. And now I know I'm doing what I said I wouldn't do, which is like, well, I'm not here to teach you things. Because I'm not. I'm not a teacher, okay? That's the end of that. But I am telling you this story. Now, here's what's going to happen next. We're going to talk about the fireworks and the effect of those fireworks in the city where they were munificently distributed and voraciously lighted and exploded. That's not the word either. I forgot the word. And how I actually got sucked into buying them, and some of the incredible things that people did with fireworks that still astound me to this day, because we talk about nothing but safety. I'm going to talk about non-safety. I'm going to tell you some things you probably won't believe, and these are not legends. I'm not going to tell you urban legends about them. I'm telling you about actual things, and things I'm not, and there's no way you should try these at all. Strange beings were these people who did not know a BTU from a ruptured nostril. These people who bought things hot. These people who lived in this strange civilization called the metropolis. Or as I got to know it, as I came to know it later on, the necropolis, a city of death, darkness, destruction. And yeah, that's right. I know. I don't look very brightly upon the city, and I know it's changed a lot. And I would have to live there, and I don't want to, in order to be able to explain to anybody that it's different. I do know people who still live in Brooklyn, and there's a lot of different and new cultures throughout the place, but it's the one I'm talking about, a necropolis, not a metropolis. I'm going to talk about more of that. My name is Frank Cotolo, man's name endurance, the title of the show, and we will be right back after a word from some people who do nice things to people on this, to Cotolo. Nice head, da? Cotolo Chronicles!
Cotolo Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world. Keep listening.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuicedTalk.com. Hear Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make like one, a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time, okay?
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything going on, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
Hey, how you doing? This is Joe Walsh. I'm speaking on behalf of Rad. It's okay to rock and roll, right? But don't drive home drunk. If you're drunk, call me up. I have a limo. I'll come and get you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves the tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Hey girls, we know what's hot. When a guy respects a girl enough to ask and doesn't just try to make a move on us. We don't want to be pushed, pressured, or persuaded to have sex. We can make up our own minds. And when we say no, we mean no, not maybe or I need to be convinced more. It doesn't matter what we're wearing, what we've done in the past, or whether or not we said yes but then changed our mind. It's hot when guys respect our decision. If they don't and try to force groping or sex, it's illegal. That's right. Groping or sex without our permission is illegal. And any guy who tries to get away with it can get arrested for sexual assault. And that's on his record permanently. Hey, real men respect. And respect is hot.
Respect!
For information about sexual assault, log on to WCASA.org. That's WCASA.org. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault, the Wisconsin Department of Health and Family Services, and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Finally, a book that reveals everything that runs through a man's blood. I'm talking, of course, about Molotov whipping the United States and going over the ocean and sweeping Europe and everywhere else that's over there. I'm Frank Cotolo, and my book, Molotov Memoirs, is now available at blurb.com. Go to blurb.com and buy this fabulous book. It's the closest thing to an autobiography I could write without telling the truth. Includes great illustrations by T. Stephen Gessick. It's a book you have to hold in your hands and bring with you everywhere you go, because it's Molotov Memoirs, the way I remember it, the way you want to know about it.
Don't be stupid with your skin. It's the only skin you're in. Know what's good and bad to do. Find the right and wrong for you. It's time you learn what it's about. 'Cause indoor tanning is out. UV lamps from a tanning bed, they can turn your skin beet red. Wrinkles come from the UV light, and age spots make you a frightful sight. With UV light, it gets worse. Skin cancer is a wicked curse. Don't be the one that's tanned dead. Use your brain, use your head, it's time you learn what it's about. 'Cause indoor tanning is out. A message from the American Academy of Dermatology.
I want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seatbelts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next, because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer, and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news, it's radio the people choose. Everybody's swinging to the swinging voice of radio, the people's choice. Big fry, small fry, dawn to dawn, it's radio that turns them on. People's choice, East Coast, West Coast, in between, it's radio that makes us see.
The Lone Ranger. Fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty high-o silver. The Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger means wherever there's a Lone Ranger, there's Tonto. And next week, on the 11th of July, right here on Cotolo Chronicles, Tom Savino and Frank Cotolo teach you how to write and tell other people how to learn the Tonto joke. This is one of the great pop culture anomalies of all time, and it's perfectly okay, all right? It's, I know that might not be politically correct in a certain way, but it's based on a character from that, the Lone Ranger. I wonder if we, do we have any other time? From the Lone Ranger, Tonto, the, and of course, those of you who've gone out to see the, the real movie. The real movie. I mean, the new movie. And, you know, I don't think that they use it. I wonder if they use it at all. We should ask Tom. Tom had Tom will be the one who's seen it. The Rossini, of course, the Rossini William Tell Overture was the theme for the TV show. And Tonto, Jay Silverheels, the TV Tonto. This is when the Tonto joke started. It's just great. And this was, of course, as I might have mentioned on my one of my introductions to music in itself. Okay. Anyway, come with us. Be with us next week, Tom Savino and me, Frank Atolo, for the Tonto joke. And you're definitely going to need your Cotolo Chronicles notebook for that, because you're going to, I know, but you're going to take some notes and learn. It's important that you learn how to do this, I think, because it's going to be real fun, and you're going to tell everybody about it, and you're going to be going around doing these Tonto jokes. There's nothing derogatory about them. There's just that politically incorrect idea of speaking like an Indian in the literary pop culture vein, as the Saturday Night Live crew used to do it Tonto, Frankenstein's monster, and Tarzan all spoke like Tarzan go to, you know, Tarzan go, present tense, no verbs, and it's just weird. No, go is a verb. No, Tarzan go
home, not to home. Single, you know. Anyway, you can enjoy that, and you're going to have a lot of fun, and that'll be great. Tom and I, of course, did this for years, literally years, every time we came up with. And I don't want to give it away. So be here for the Tonto Joke Show with Tom Savino and me, Frank Cotullo, on July 11th, Cotullo Chronicles. What else? You know everything else. I've taught you everything else now. Everything that's new, you know about. You know where the books can be gotten. By the way, I just want to mention that that little piece for Molotov Memoirs did not include the fact that I think it's $2.99 or what have you. You can get it for your Kindle or your Windle or your Bindle or your iPod or iGalaxy phone or your Universal phone or any of the phone. You get a digital version is what I'm saying. So go get a digital version and enjoy it if you like digital stuff. Back to a history of fireworks and the various things about urban legends and fireworks during the 50s, 60s, I guess even the 40s. I don't know. I didn't know about the 40s, 50s and 60s in New York City. Now, as I mentioned before, there were no safety measures. They told you, you know, you were dealing with explosives, and some of them were bigger than others. Let me go through the various boom boom stuff. Okay, the firecracker is a little thing. It's 2 inches with a fuse, which is lighted, and it goes pop, just a big pop. Okay, now there were there was firecracker, and because I'm trying to think of the big one now. Then the next one was a cherry bomb. And it was called a cherry bomb because it was actually a little red ball. And it had a stem, which was the fuse. There was the firecracker, the cherry bomb. And the cherry bomb was bigger. I can't even tell you how many firecrackers at once equal the cherry bomb. But it was a big boom. Boom. No color. This is only sound now. This is noise. We're not talking color. Things in the air, sparklers, other kinds of things that flame and shot out sparks and colors. We're just talking noise. Firecrackers, cherry bombs, and the bigger than a cherry bomb was an ash can. Now, an ash can looked like food. Almost like it was an ash can. It was a little cylinder, maybe an inch long, maybe a little longer. And the fuse came out the middle, usually red, came out the middle. So ash can, because it was silver, and it looked like a garbage can. Some people would argue the cherry bombs were more potent and louder. But I think the ash can was a bit more powerful, which means I have more gunpowder than the cherry bomb. Firecracker, nothing in between the firecracker and the cherry bomb. It went from the firecracker, and one firecracker, bam, you know, but the key with firecrackers was you shot a lot of them off at once, a pack, two packs, three packs, and sometimes people would shoot an entire mat off at once, and it would be like, and you know what, if I could find that, I would give you an idea. And I probably can as we're talking. Let's see, I wonder if they have that, and you can get an idea of what a mat sounded like. I mean, I have to respell it, but I'm going to look it up here so that we could get that. It's a mat of firecrackers. No, look, firecrackers. It doesn't say M-A-T. You know what? Maybe it's M-A-T-T-E. Maybe it's a French. No, I don't know that either. Let's see what they come up with. Happy 4th of July, fireworks show, firecrackers, fried chicken. Man, that doesn't work. And it doesn't, cluster firecracker ball explosion? Cluster? Fire? Made in China? Look at this. It's something. Matt, M-A-T-T-E. Let's see what the 23 seconds. Let's listen to this. So Matt, what is this? It's going to be loud, friend. So hold on. Made in China. 2000 Shush Matt. So this is some kind of explosion. There it goes. Yes. There it is. Now. Okay. Okay, now aside from the last two explosions, I think that that was a MAT, or I don't know, 50 packs, maybe? Was it 100 packs? MATTE, a MAT of firecrackers. Here they go again. There's the whole MAT. Yeah, those last, I don't know what those last three were. Let's see if we got Cherry Bomb. Cherry Bomb. Here's Cherry Bomb. Probably group's name, Cherry Bomb. Yes, there was. John Mellencamp had a song called Cherry Bomb. Look, there's no Cherry Bomb. Oh, yes, making 1950s styles Cherry Bomb salutes. Cherry Bomb full movie. There's a movie. Joan Jett did a Cherry Bomb. Where is the Cherry Bomb explosions? Here we go. Cherry Bomb explosions. This is kid putting it in a pumpkin. It's a cherry bomb. Okay, comes. Okay, really good. Here's another one. This is a microwave. We didn't have that.
Oh. Oh no.
Yeah. It's in a microwave. Here's one in another microwave. Blew the front right off. Everybody laughed. Here's another one in another microwave. This is cherry bombs in microwaves. So this is relatively new. We didn't have microwaves in my day. So a cherry bomb's enough to just decimate a microwave. Do we got one more? No, here it is. What is this? Oh, in a vacuum cleaner. Completely. What a trip, huh? And people really. Cherry bomb. Now, I don't know if they'll have ash can. Let's see if they have ash can. Ash can. Ash cans. It says ash cans. Let's see if they have ash cans fireworks. Yes, here are ash cans. Well, how do you like this apple? How do you like this? How to make an ashtray? No, ash can. Oh, there's only a few. M80s. M80s. That's the one. M80s. This was the next step. Firecracker, cherry bomb, ash cannon, M80s. Here is, let's see, that's an, okay. There's a lot of them there. Let's see if we could get block, okay, it just says M80 Blockbuster ash cans. Well, where's just an ash can? How to make an ash can out of a soda from a soda can. Look, they even tell you how to make this stuff. This is what's really dangerous, huh? Because we know that. Here's M80s. Very close to ash cans. Anybody have an ash shooting aerosol can? No. Looking in cans. Moving cans. Tin can ashtray. Do what you say. No, that's garbage too. And yes, there are none. So we'll go to, we'll give you an idea of how loud by going to the M80 ash can thing. This is a long one. Maybe it's got, but we're not going to play all of it. We'll just play some of it. M80 Blockbusters and ash cans. So this is like both of them. It's music. What is this? They're showing you how to make this?
How are these bad boys?
Yeah, they're showing you how to make them. And that's not what we want. We don't want that. And we have here's a firecracker, mat of firecrackers right here. At where? Okay. Let's see if we can get over there. I don't know if I can do that without getting into trouble with this thing. Let's see if we have, that's how to make, here is M80 Blockbuster ash cans. Let's see what this is all about. Oh, is this how to make them? They don't show, I'm going to hear them blow up. Here comes, I think here comes one. I'm going to wait.
That's why I'm back.
Let's see. This guy is cooking it up to a, wow, these guys are like really, explosive experts? What's he doing? I don't know. He's moving. He's here comes. Okay, it's lighted, and here goes. He's going to blow this thing up. Take a listen to this. And remember, these are just street fireworks. This is not like war material, battle material.
All right?
Go. Oh, he shot it into the sky. It didn't even make a noise the way I thought. Here, let's make one of these big I can't believe we don't have an ash can sound here, a big ash can sound.
No big deal, apparently.
They keep putting it into things, and they... Here goes. Listen to this one.
There's not much up here like the old man said.
70 grams of black Indian.
70 what? Grams of black Indian.
That's 70 grams of black Indian. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
It's lighted. When's it going off?
No, they don't.
Thank God. Okay, did you hear that? That's like a bomb, isn't it? This is a bomb.
My whole room's golden. My
listen.
Okay. No, they don't.
Here he goes. Again. Now that's a that's on this particular video. They're doing it out in a field. Imagine that done on a city street where cars are parked and people are sitting around shooting this thing. Just sitting around, and suddenly this, and these are going off by the tens. Okay, here it goes. Can we hear it?
No, they don't.
Now that's, yeah. I don't remember how much, but it was very expensive to get an ash can. An M80 was really expensive. In those days, expensive, of course. I don't know exact prices. You can look that stuff up somewhere. But, okay, so there you go. You got that. You have these are the things that blow things up. Now, nobody was an explosive expert, and although everybody was the old days, there was nothing keeping anybody from doing things and trying to be stupidly heroic. I want to tell you about Alphonse now because I saw this. I saw it happen. I saw people get burnt a bit from firecrackers if you were too close, or it could just, you know, blow in and scar your hand. It smarted, and it would burn you to where, I don't think it was a very intense burn, but, you know, and nonetheless, it's a burn. You don't want to be near a firecracker, no less a bunch of them, blowing up. Well, Alphonse was a particularly large and strong city guy. This was, you know, he was a... Matt was also called a brick. Okay, thank you very much. Any chance to look this up? 80 packs of firecrackers was a mat. 80, each pack contained 16 firecrackers. Thank you, Doc, for doing the research that I just don't do when I do the shows. But there's some details that are very good. I mean, I like being fed this material because 80 packs was a mat, 16 firecrackers in each pack. So Matt was 1,280 firecrackers at once. That's what you were listening to before when I shot fire to Matt. You wouldn't want to be near a mat because that's, you know, it's just little explosives. And, of course, it would could burn you or what have you. But anyway, Alphonse said there's nothing to these firecrackers. Alphonse is a large man, a muscular man. He said there's nothing to these firecrackers. I'd never seen this. I might have only been... eight or nine. And this is years after I did what every child probably does in New York at one time or another, picks up off the ground a sparkler that had already gone off without realizing that it's hot. You're from the wrong side, and it's dark, it's gray, it looks gray, it is gray. It's silver, it's gray, but once it's burned, it's a little different. And it's on the sidewalk, which is gray and concrete-y. Concrete-y is not even a word, you know what I mean? And I picked it up, I was a kid, and I was a little guy. And I cried and cried, burnt my hand so badly. And my mother brought me up. I know I was very young because my mother put me in the sink. And this is where I used to take baths, believe it or not, when I was like almost an infant. And even a little bigger than an infant, in the sink. Kids used to bathe in the sink. The mothers would bathe them in the sink. And she put me in the sink and just ran that water over me and put butter all over my hands because butter supposedly, and that might be an old wives' tale, but then again, nobody knew why. They just told us these things and they did it because they were handed down from generation to generation. Butter made the burn feel better. And try to say that five times fast. Butter made the burn feel better. 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 Butter, it's a good name. I want to write that in my book of titles. Butter, I'm going to write that down because it's got to be in there. I'll add it later. Butter made the burn feel better. Another book I will never write, but I just have the title. Now I have it in the titles as we can. Do you have a book of titles? I do. Someday I'm just going to talk about the book of titles. We'll talk when I got enough titles. We'll talk the titles. I'll mention the titles, the list of titles that I have. And then we'll talk about what the books might be like. That would be a fun solo show. At least it would for me. I don't know. Maybe you can help. Okay, let's go back. We got the Mad in the M80s and Firecrackers. Okay, so here's Alfonso, who says, and this is out in the open on July 4th evening, and fireworks are being ignited, blown up. Fireworks are being shot. That's what they used to say, shoot. You're going to shoot fireworks tonight? Shoot. That's all they said. Use any other word. I'm shooting fireworks tonight. You shoot them? I'm shooting them. Alfonso says, these firecrackers are nothing. He said, I'll show you. Alfonso, as I said, not a large fat. We're not talking fat. We're talking muscular, tall. There's a guy you did not want to screw around with because he was big. In fact, later on in his life, he was shot. And he's still alive. He was shot. And he still has two of those bullets inside of him. Okay? Because they were just in a place. The body just had to deal with them. And the body does, you know, calcium deposits around a foreign object. If it stays in there too long. That's what I heard. And again, all right? These are things I learned and heard. I don't know. But anyway, here's Alphonse, a guy who can take bullets and live with them. He takes, I don't know what age he might have been then. If I was 9, he must have been 20, I don't know, 20-something. He took a firecracker into his fist, made a fist, stuck the firecracker inside of the fist so that the fuse came out of the clench so he could light it. And he said, watch this. I'm very impressed. I'm 9 years old. This is impressive. He's going to light it? This must be a trick. This must be like finding, he found, like the uncle who found a quarter in my ear, you know, or anything like that. These little tricks. But then, and he stood there and he lighted it. And he stuck his arm out perpendicular. I believe that would be perpendicular to his body. And he just stood there and he clenched that fist. I don't know if it would have been, if the clenching of the fist actually had something to do with lessening the impact. I don't know. I would imagine more. I'm thinking compress it more and, you know, but if you left it loose, maybe it was worse. I don't know, but he was really tight. And so there he went. And I was transfixed by this. And it lighted down to the, and it blew up in his hand. Now I squinted, I winced, and I squinced. I did all those things because I figured, you know, in my mind, as a child, what is this? Is he crazy? He's gonna blow his hand off? That's a firecracker. So. His hand did not blow off. He opened up his hand, and I'll never forget, because I just ran right over to him. Oh, yeah, I went when he lighted that thing, I ran like 20 feet away. He did not have to run that far. I mean, what was going to happen, you know? And he opened up his hand, and there was a mark, a smudge, a large discoloring of his palm. No sign of the checkered Chinese type package that a firecracker was encased. And it was, so it was burnt, but it wasn't burnt. Burnt. It wasn't burnt, burnt. And they say that's from New York too. You feel well, but do you feel well? Well, you say twice, then suddenly that's the intensity. Was it burned or was it burn burned? It was burn burned. It was burn burn burned. And never went three. That's like daring. Double the, you know, you remember that from other pieces of pop culture. I dare you. I double dog dare you. I double triple dog dare you. You know, well, doubled. Was it burned or was it burned burned? Well, you know, his hand wasn't burned. I mean, it was discolored. I mean, there was nothing. And I thought it might be a trick, but I wanted to believe that he did it. And he did. He did it. Little did I know later that later on in life, I don't know how he would have actually, what it would have taken to actually hurt him. I don't know. But he did not get hurt. And maybe, for all I knew, anyone could do it. But nobody did it. And Alfonso was so large and had this, he was a sense of being a strong, you know, brute kind of a guy that you figured, well, only Alphonse could do that, right? And he squeezed it for dramatic purposes. However he did it, he'd done this trick before. It was no trick, I mean, but he'd done it knowing that nothing was going to happen. I guess the most amazing thing to me was that it didn't even move his hand. It went off. And I remember, as I remember this, it didn't even budge. It blew up. And the smoke came out, you heard the sound, and nothing happened. His arm didn't even move. His hand didn't even move, as I remember this. A remarkable feat to me. It's so remarkable that, of course, that to this day, what am I talking? I'm talking about it and through the eyes of the 9-year-old who saw it. Now, this could not be done with a cherry bomb. A cherry bomb, or an ash can, and certainly an M80. This would just blown a hole right through your hand. You did not do this. But one single firecracker, nothing. And apparently anyone, a lot of people could have done it. And maybe some would have gotten hurt a little bit or burned a little bit more than others didn't. But anyway, that's the Alphonse story. I did hear stories of cherry bombs and ash cans going off too close to people. For instance, there was this story about an ash can that took off a couple of fingers of a fellow. And here's the thing. It wasn't that, you know, you'd light an ash can or a cherry bomb right on your hand. You had to hold it, and you'd light it. And usually, you'd hold it and light it. These guys were really sharp with, well, you know, remember you see in movies where guys have these wooden matches, they could light the matches with their finger and their nail in one hand. Light it and then toss it. Hopefully not under a car. I heard them there. So many of these things went under cars and blew up under cars. There was all sorts of damage the next day. And this is all, of course, illegal, but it's going on. So the story was the ash can that he lighted the fuse of the ash can, and before he threw it, it went off. See, so, and I don't know how that would happen. What was this and they were fuses, they were thick fuses, so I have no idea how that would happen. But that was the story. Indicating that these things were so badly made, they were not, you know, inspected by the Chinese weapon inspector didn't look into the quality of each ash can to make sure that the fuse was the correct burning capacity, nothing, not, you know, so that you could get a defect. And and the story was that these ash cans, you better light them on, put them somewhere and light them on the ground. Don't hold them and throw them. Cherry bombs, on the other hand, were thrown like, wow. I never heard a story about a cherry bomb blowing up unless the fuse was completely gone. But the ash can thing thought might be urban legend, because I just don't know if one of those things could blow up because you just, like, and the fuse is defective? I don't know, maybe. And, of course, there was a fellow who I never met the fellow, and it could have been, or it could have been one of those scary stories they told people. You know, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, the point is that there might have been, and there probably was, a person or two who lost a finger or two for being too close to an ash can when it exploded. Regardless of this story that the fuse was no good, you just don't. Regardless of that, it could have been very possible. As you heard, M80 certainly. M80 could blow a hole. Would God, you know, if you jumped on an M80 the way you see guys in Heroes, in war movies, jump on a grenade to protect their other people, or just, you know, to they just, you know, it's a suicide mission. I would imagine an ash can would, if you threw yourself on top of that and your chest was there, just blow your heart right out. I just don't see how that wouldn't be possible. That's the impact of this. Certainly not like a grenade, but I mean, even you know, that'd blow your stomach and your guts out, even if you have the equipment on that is supposed to stop, or bulletproof, or but nothing's bombproof. But anyway, so they would. And remember, these are things being thrown out by children. I mean, children. And every neighborhood that I knew about, every neighborhood. And cars, people driving around in cars, not cars, people driving around in cars on that night were always in harm's way. Because many of the kids who had ash cans, cherry bombs, firecrackers, were destructively playful. They didn't think anything about throwing a cherry bomb under a car passing by, or even, and believe it or not, someone was stupid enough to leave their window open when they were driving down a street with their fireworks, and then they take two packs of firecrackers and just toss them in the back of a car. Now, granted, that's not going to make anyone fall over dead from from two packs of firecrackers. But if you're driving, it certainly is quite a distraction and can cause an accident. The amazing thing about it is, I never saw, and I knew some pretty bad guys who played around with fireworks, but I never saw anybody extremely hurt. I never saw cars, I saw ash cans and cherry bombs go under cars, moving cars and their cars. I never saw like this massive explosion, and they never caused, I never saw windows broken from these things. I never saw cars blown up because it was too close to the gas tank, the explosion. Never. But the sounds were so frightening. And they were relentless because they just went on and on and on and on. Boom. This is just the noise. Forget about the color. Because someone would say, you got any color or you just got noise? That's how they separated them. You got the color and you got the noise. And this was a lot of money going south, being literally burned up. Buying these things. I don't remember what that mat cost me, but I'm telling you, at the age I bought it, not the age, the age that I was when I bought the mat, that was a lot of money for me. Maybe it was $10, $15? For God's sakes, if a mat was $5, that was a lot for me. And it was a lot anyway. But what we're saying is, and you know, it's just blowing it up. And the sound especially. A lot of the gangs, the street gangs, would buy the cherry bombs and ash cans and keep them for other combative situations during the year, and pranks. And my gang member he purposely tossed a cherry bomb in back of me while I was walking out of a park, just for fun. He did it for fun, and it went off, obviously, right behind me. I had no idea it was there. You don't want to jump through your skin. You want to see your heart in your mouth. and you have to swallow it back. You got a cherry bomb blow up behind you without even knowing it. You know, this is another thing that always made me realize how horrible it must be to be at war, in battle, brave or not, just there. Horrible. If you don't know where it's coming from, and the things that are making sounds can really kill you. Even though you're driving or you're walking through the city in the peak hour of fireworks, not color sound, these explosion things, there was still so much, you know, it was just kind of disconcerting, and it was nerve rattles your nerve, but it wasn't as dangerous. But he gave you an idea. That kind of sound was going on, and all of these sounds were generated from weapons that could hurt you, dismember you, and even kill you. Wow. Wow. When you're very young and it's the 4th of July, you know, you're playing games like you're in this battlefield, you know, like you play war and gun. But later on, nothing. And when that cherry bomb, now you say, how did I know it was a cherry bomb? I knew it was in an ash can because it was just about the sound of a cherry bomb. Just about the size and sound of a cherry bomb. Now the color is a different story. But also, there were no pyrotechnical people involved in buying that stuff. And on the same night that Alphonse grasped the firecracker, Joey had himself a Roman candle. Now, Roman candles shot out 10 or 20 or 15 colorful flares. And what everyone did was hold them. You lighted them, held them up away from, you know, well, away from your face, but I mean, yeah, it was away from you. You held it up like the Statue of Liberty. Put your arm like a torch. And you shook it a little bit in circular motions. And boom, it would shoot, boom. And out would come this flare. And it would blow up somewhere 20, 30 feet, you know, even that much. But so it was like a rocket. It was rockets were coming out of this thing that you held. Never had I, and I saw everyone held them. Everyone held them. That's how you executed a Roman candle, by holding it. Joey held one this night, and it backfired. Now, this was frightening, although nothing happened to Joey, other than he was shaken up, he was burned, his face was burned, and didn't lose an eye, or any sight or anything. But this was really frightening. He was holding it the way he had held these things already for years, because he was an older kid. And they always went off, and then you threw the thing down. On this particular time, and luckily, I don't think he was looking directly into the bottom of it when it backfired, but it backfired. So instead of the flare going out, obviously, away from him and into the air, it came out and went into his head. Boom. And it didn't make, and it wasn't colorful. It was just, it's a backfire. It's an explosion. It's wrong. It shouldn't happen. And I don't even know, maybe two shots came out or what have you. But to see it happen, that was really something. Everyone panicked. And that was in a sense, no, they didn't panic. They all acted, well, some people panicked. As if, you know, his head is blown off. Don't look at him. He has a hole now from his brow all the way through to the back of his... No, it didn't happen. It wasn't that bad. But it sure could have taken an eye out. And if it went into his mouth and his mouth was open, it might have changed his whole vocal ability. I don't know. It could have done anything going into his mouth, but it didn't. And luckily, he did not. It did not go into his eye, but his brow, His hair was charred, of course, and his brow was completely, his face was like black. But remember, this also made him fall backward. This was like a pretty powerful kick. It had a recoil when it blew backwards, and so he was pushed back. And I don't remember him falling. He didn't fall on his bottom or anything. But he was pushed back I don't know what happened. He dropped it. And for all I remember, and I don't, and maybe, you know, another couple of shots came out on the ground. I don't know. But he got it right in the head, and everybody just stood there. And then someone went up, and Alphonse, of course, and a couple of other guys who were brave enough, went up and looked at his face right away. They brought him into one of the houses and cleaned up his face and made sure that he could see and everything. But that was the first time I realized what they were talking about with true safety of fireworks. In the same night, I saw a man take a firecracker and explode it in his hand. That's something that I thought was impossible in the first place. And at that age, and nothing happened. And then I saw this happen, which wasn't supposed to happen. And you know, the first time I'd ever seen a Roman candle do that. But from that day on, and that year on, as I remember it, I never saw anybody hold a Roman candle again. They would put it in a bottle. It would light it from the side or what has you, or maybe they even started to design them differently because apparently this was happening a lot. And it was one of the things that started people being more aware that these things could hurt you, that you needed to be a little bit more careful with these things. Now, there were other types of fireworks, and the one I remember, because I've had a number of these when I was a kid or what have you, and I've seen them. Not the color ones. There were things like cold. There was a house that actually, it was like a house on fire or something. They had all these things. They really became a little bit more they became real sophisticated as time went on. And of course, wherever they came from, China, Japan, or whatever, exquisite bombs of color. I don't know, bombs of color. Colorful fireworks. And you know, because you've seen so many of them when you watch the pyrotechnics and the ones they shoot off on New Year's Eve in Australia and everywhere, and other fireworks displays, and certainly what they do on the 4th of July in the United States. But, so they had these things, house on fire, blow up, but there was this thing, and this would give you an idea of New York also. I'm not going to say the word because it'll make it more interesting to explain this particular firework. You would light it, and it would shoot out of this little encasement. It would go, pew, pew, and it would shoot out. It could go like a half a block, pew, boom, and then it would blow up away from you. Yeah, sometimes it would go zigzag, and blow up. Now, you could call it a number of things. I don't know what they call it today, but I'm sure there's even a politically correct name for it. But it was the N-word chaser. Okay? I think you understand. That's what they called it. And in this neighborhood of mostly Italians, that was just the way it was called. That's it. It was an N-word chaser. Of course, you know it. I mean N-word. I mean the N-word. It's an N-word, Jason. I'm not going to say it. I know I could say it, and I know it doesn't mean anything if I say it. But I think it has a bit more impact if I tell you that. So think about this for a second. Someone made this thing, and I don't think in China they called it. No, whatever they called it, they gave it names. They gave these things names. But this is what they called it. This little explosive that shot out, and sometimes zigzagged or what have you, and then blew up. It was an N-word chaser. That's what they used. That's right. Yeah. Like it would catch. Like it would shoot it to catch African Americans running away. What does this mean? Right? And yet nobody thought anything about it. Just like they didn't think anything about using the word per se. But that was it. Those were the N-word chasers. Troy Bellum's ash cans, N-word chasers, sparklers, we all know, are just don't make booms. They just sparkle. But you can, if you put those too close to you could, they would hurt. You could put those, and they'd get burned. I mean, it must be like a billion degrees. I don't know. Well, because the Chinese and the Italians made a deal somewhere, and that's what they did. My name is Frank Cotolo. You must know that if you're listening. This is Cotolo Chronicles, rapidly coming to the end of our July 4th show for this July 4th. We don't always fall on July. Sometimes we fall on holidays. The rare time we fell on my birthday, we had a big birthday party. The other time that it fell upon New Year's Eve, that was fun. But we are here on the 4th of July, otherwise known as the 4th of July, otherwise known as July 4th. I know I say it both ways. Independence Day. But nobody ever says Independence Day. They say 4th of July. The actual date is the holiday. I don't know why. That's another legend, and that's another piece of something you have to look up and trust, maybe at Wikipedia or other various forms of encyclopedic knowledge and historians. I'm just listening for a second. It's funny too, because out here in the country, I hear nothing. I hear nothing. Nothing. Once in a while, you hear a bing or a bum or a bum. And I saw a great display, a local display by real pyrotechnical people last evening in Linglestown. Beautiful, beautiful, and loud, and just lighting up the sky with colors and designs and terrific. And ash, which got all over me, smoke and ash, because I was pretty close to them. In any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, you got to be careful. Illegal or illegal, these things can hurt you. And so when they say 9,600, and today they count, 9,600 injuries. And so, you know, the people who get the injuries are never real, and are never, if it's illegal, they don't give them summons or anything, do they? I don't know. But nobody was ever caught. Once in a while, back in those days in New York, they found a garage filled with the stuff, and they... Well, I don't know what they did, but nobody went to jail for selling fireworks. And they were all over the place, and they were illegal, and nobody was arrested or anything. So I don't know how that's changed today or what's going on, but that's what goes on. And in those days, I guess this is the most important point, and I never brought it up. In those days, the fireworks were the thing. It's July 4th, and that's what I said. Come around June, the middle of June, it's time to think about buying fireworks, because it's July 4th when you shoot off fireworks. That's it. And 99.9% of all the people shooting off fireworks, color, ash cans, mats of firecrackers or anything, none of them, 99.9, I said none of them, 99.9%, I almost guarantee you, never even once thought of the forefathers and the fact that they were celebrating the independence of the country that these people lived in from from their occupation of Great Britain. Who knew? That's what happened in New York. Next week, the 11th of July. I hope it's a little cooler, but we're dealing with it. It's that time of the year, and my headphones that I've been wearing, the same headphones I've been wearing for years, have to dry out because they're filled with sweat, perspiration all over there. I'll be here with or without a fan. I don't know. Tom Savino, the Tonto joke. Learn Tonto jokes. Laugh along with us. This is so hilarious. Don't think about anything politically correct. This is just funny stuff. And we're going to show you how to construct the Tonto joke We're going to describe to you. We're not going to give you the history because we don't know. We have no idea. This is another one of those things. Tonto jokes. And we're going to tell Tonto jokes. It's like you don't even know it. And this is nothing like, this is not like a blonde joke. I'm going to tell you this. You know, the blonde jokes became blonde jokes after Polish people started complaining because there were Polish jokes that always made the Polish people look stupid. Then there were blonde jokes. They became blonde jokes you could transfer. You know, all this stuff. None of this. This is not that. So don't think like, oh, you're just going to do jokes that are like, show how American, Native Americans are idiots. No, that had nothing to do with it. This is specifically this character, Tonto, jokes. Okay? Tonto. The fictional Indian, at the time known as an Indian, in the Lone Ranger stories. Tonto. So you'll learn how to do it. Tom Savino will be here. I'll see him because he's on Skype, and you will just hear him. But it'll be a whole bunch of fun. I guarantee you, you're going to have a lot of fun with this. The rest of the month is still pending, but we'll have a bunch of people. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. You will, won't you? Are we having a thing here? Oh, what? Yes, you will.
That's control over there. You know what I mean?
Oh, we're having another electronic thing going on here? Yes. Okay. Once again, we've come to the end. The near end of this show, and I want to thank everybody for being here. Don't forget Frank Cotolo at Facebook. No, it's facebook.com. fcotolo@yahoo.com if you want to write to me. Or where else? Get me on Facebook. I'm at Frank Cotolo for Twitter. I tweet. I do things. You'll be there. I'll be there with you. And we'll be here again next week, and hopefully all of July, and into the long, hot summer. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you are. Put those fireworks away. Enjoy yourself. I'll see you around. I will, too. Leave you now, though, because I have nothing more to say. Thank you.